Greetings, Slidell. This is Bob Riles, your host of the new Grace Radio series, Voices. This new adventure in programming for Grace Radio focuses on the voices of our neighbors here in Slidell. It's neighbors talking to neighbors about things that maybe we talk about over the back fence. And today our guest is candidate for police chief, Jimmy Estes. Jimmy's been around for a long time. I'm sure a lot of people out there in the listening audience know Jimmy. We'd like to say welcome. Glad you're here.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
I see your name on the ballot. I know that you're interested in becoming police chief here in Slidell. You've got some big shoes to fill. Chief Randy Smith did an excellent job for a long time, and looks like you've got a pretty tough field of candidates to compete against. We'd like to get to know you, who you are, and what your ideas might be.
Sure. You know, I'm not a politician, so I'm going to tell you like it is. This is a beautiful town. Been here for a long time. I've been in law enforcement 37 years. And Chief Smith did it. He has a great department, one of the best departments in the state, which I would like to keep that way. But we need to retain those officers that's here. It seems like we have a problem retaining them because of the salary issue. And my main goal is to build their salaries up and get them the right training. Because we want this community to be one community. We don't want a Ferguson or something like in Milwaukee. We want everybody to realize that we're brothers and sisters. We're all one town. Our serious problem is the drug problem. I've been around here 37 years, and I've seen in the last several years more overdoses and death due to heroin. A lot of that come from, I guess, the state police and the DEA when they got to these pain clinics, quit all that. Each drug stores are tied together, so people can't doctor shop or go to drugstore and get this prescription, that one. And when they cut it back, it's led to heroin. More people like that are going to heroin, and it's a serious, serious problem. That's my main goal, is to stop the heroin flow. Not necessarily the users, but the dealers.
I guess I live in another world, and I don't see much about drugs and things like that on the street. We have dealers in Slidell who are selling heroin?
There's a few. Mostly come out of New Orleans East. Our biggest problem comes out of New Orleans, and as law enforcement, and I've been involved in law enforcement, 9 out of 10 stolen cars that's stolen in the Slidell or St. Tammany area winds up in New Orleans East. But that's why, if I'm chief, I want to have once a month people from different neighborhoods, every neighborhood, come at one time and have a conference table we can all sell around. You know, if in your subdivision or your neighborhood, if your next door neighbor's got 5 or 10 cars coming every night, every weekend, every hour somebody's in and out, well, you know that guy's doing something wrong. But we don't see that as police officers because we just patrol through, or we go there if we get a call and we may patrol, but we don't see the amount of traffic coming in and out of that house. And that's where I want to meet with the citizens once a month. If they tell me that there's 25 cars a night going to this house, we're going to do something about it. We're going to find out what it's about.
Well, it sounds like building relationships and building the community is an important part of who Jimmy Estes is.
Yes.
And maybe an important part of what the department will look like.
Well, and that's why I told you earlier, I'm not a politician. When I was on patrol, even when I was a captain, I'd go through these neighborhoods. I'd get out and throw the football with kids or a baseball. But you get to know these people. A lot of people live in the surrounding area, not so much in the city because I was a sheriff's deputy. I was mostly in the surrounding subdivisions. But for 37 years, I've been working to be chief. I've helped people. If I can't help you, I'm sure not going to hurt you.
Well, what are some of the ideas that you have about dealing with people from outside the community bringing trouble inside, whether it's car theft or whether it's drugs? It could be a problem here, but it looks like it's not of our making.
No, it's not.
They're bringing a problem to us.
Well, you know, they have a task force. DEA has a task force that we can put a member of our department on, or a couple of members of our department, to work with that task force. They will come in and help us. You know, I don't want to call it profiling or anything, but you can tell some that's getting off the interstate 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, some young guy that don't even look like he's old enough to drive. He needs to be questioned or at least followed to see what he's up to. Because normally after midnight or 1 o'clock, there's only bad people and police out. The only way you're going to stop it, or could stop it, is blow up the twin span and raise that north draw every night. But that, you can't do that, so we can cut back on it. We can monitor it. We've had police officers go to New Orleans and follow some of the dealers over here during surveillance, and they've caught quite a few.
Well, this is interesting, and I appreciate the need for patrol and people being out on the street looking to see what's going on. But, you know, maybe something of a preemptive move would deal with interdepartment cooperation between the New Orleans Police Department or maybe other places. We've singled out New Orleans East as one of maybe several. I'm not sure all the criminals in the world live there. But what do you think about interdepartment cooperation and what can we do in that area?
Well, that's why I said we need a task force. New Orleans has their own problems. We need to help them some. They have shootings or stabbings every night. I don't know that they have the manpower to help us. There's a good working relationship between us in New Orleans and the FBI. And, the local police departments around here, there's a good working relationship. Chief Smith or Sheriff Smith, now he built up that relationship. Unfortunately, the last three chiefs that came through Slidell, the second half of their second term, they spent politicking for another job. And I don't intend to do that. Not that they backed off on their duties, but I'm just saying I think you, as a police chief, you need to be there every day. Watch what your department's doing. Keep it transparent. And that's one reason I want a citizens committee to put together to make sure that our police officers are doing what they're supposed to do. I want to put more service back into protect and serve.
The number one job, police chief, is to make sure that the laws are enforced and the public is kept safe. That's a number one. But it seems to me that there's a lot of good that can be done by some of the things that you talked about. You said you get out your patrol car and play ball with the kids, and you meet with different people in these task force and things of that nature. So obviously, your relational program. What are some of the things that you see that the police chief could do to continue this community networking that is in place now, not only from Randy Smith, but from other people as well?
Well, I think we need a lot more sensitivity training. Most of our young police officers here went to school here, they graduated here, they know a lot of people, my son being one of them. He works for the sheriff's office. You know, I went to ball games every Friday night for 20 years, and I intend to ride with every police officer in this department, and maybe more than once. I'll be out on week. I'm not a sit-in-the-office chief. I'm not a politician. I'm more of a policeman, so I'll be in the radio room a lot. I'll be in the patrol cars with the patrolmen. Not the lieutenant or the sergeant, because their job is to supervise these guys. But I want to see how the patrolman acts, what he needs are. You know, talk to him. I want to build a relationship with each officer so they can see how I treat people.
I guess one of the concerns today is, it was never a concern when I was a kid, but I guess one of the concerns today is for our law enforcement officers. Like you said, their pay is not commensurate with the risk that they take in protecting us, and recently we've seen some police that have given their lives in service, and they weren't even in pursuit of anybody. It was just a random shooting. We were at a meeting not too long ago, and Chief Howard was talking about some of the strategies that he was employing to protect policemen from danger. Any thoughts on what might happen there, or any strategies that you could reveal at this time?
Well, I'd have to talk to Chief Howard to see what his. I wouldn't want to step on his toes in any way. If he's got something going, it works. I would go along with him. I would sit down and talk to him. And like I say, I've always been a police officer, never been a chief. I mean, I've been a commander, commanded 75 to 85 men and women at one time when I was district patrol commander. Mm-hmm. I was a shift lieutenant for years. There's some things I'd rather not say, because you never know who's listening. But there are some ways that us police officers can protect each other. And when you talk about the pay and the stuff, and I had a guy tell me one time, well, all police officers think they're prima donnas, it's all about the bells and whistles. And I told him, you're not out there at 2:00 in the morning on the interstate or one of these roads taking a body out of a car that you can't tell if it's a man or a woman or so mangled. The policemen are not prima donnas, believe me. We go places where everybody else don't want to go.
I think it's really commendable for you to take on such a daunting task. Seems like 37 years, if there was ever a question, did I do my part? I think you've got the gold star, and yes, I did my part. But to take on chief, that's a pretty daunting role. What are some of your aspirations in that area? What kind of drives you to that?
Well, to give you a little history on me, I started the sheriff's office as a reserve. I spent 2 years in reserve, then I went regular. Within 4 years of that, I made deputy of the year. I volunteered for everything they had to do. I was a diver for 10 years. I was a SWAT team commander. I was also a sniper on the SWAT team. In 1996, I was instrumental in starting the motorcycle division. Went from patrol commander to commander to search and recovery, or special operations, and I rode the horses. So I've done everything but handle a dog, and I don't want to do any of that. But I think I have the experience. I kind of lead by example. I'm not one of these guys to tell somebody to go out there and do something that I won't do or haven't done.
Well, it sounds like serious leadership.
Yes, sir.
Leadership is a whole lot more than telling people what to do. In order to be a leader, people have to be willing to follow.
Right.
And sounds like that's a plan. You got a plan.
Well, and you know, I was a shift commander for about 10 years, and had none of my guys left my shift. They knew I was right there with them. I would, and I want these police officers. My main goal is to make sure every one of them goes home at night. I don't want to lose any police officer while I'm chief.
Well, that's a worthy goal. Jimmy, it's been a great interview, and I really appreciate your time. Is there anything else that you'd like to say to us that would be of interest to our listeners here at Grace Radio?
Well, other than, like I say, the Citizens Committee, I want somebody from every neighborhood, and my door will be open. My phone number will be out there for anybody who wants to call me any time of the day or night. Like I say, I can't tell someone how to deal with grief. I know how to deal with it. I mean, I've dealt with it. Like I said, I was a diver. I've recovered a lot of bodies. I went to their funerals, belonged to the Patriot Guard to go to a veterans' funerals. You know, I've lost two sons tragically. Being compassionate to people and sensitive to people's needs. We don't get called to someone's house because we're going to supper. We get called there because there's a problem, and we need to resolve it without, hopefully as peacefully as we can. And that's what I want my officers to understand.
Well, really sorry for your loss. I know that's a tough thing to lose a family member, but to lose our children is
two of them.
Is a major tough thing, Well, thank you for being with us today. It's been a real pleasure talking to you. It really was.
And, yes, sir.
And thank you, Slidell, for tuning in to Voices here on Grace Radio. We want to hear from you. You can call us now at 985-250-1037. You can leave a comment, send us a text. And if you have comments or thoughts on today's programming, by all means, be in touch. We'd love to hear from you. We'd encourage you to like us on Facebook, Grace Radio of Slidell, and leave a comment. You can also check in with our website, www.graceradioslidell.net, where you can make tax-deductible gifts to support this station. We depend on the gifts of listeners just like you. And again, give us a call, 985-250-1037. Well, that's it for now. Join us again for the Voices of Slidell daily at 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. and get in the flow of God's grace here in Slidell.